Our Bible reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 14 and finishing at the end of the chapter. Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 29. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Please leave your Bibles open so you can keep following on in Hebrews 12. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. That is, of course, the opening words of The Tale of Two Cities, yeah. I thought more might have been familiar with it. So they are words that can still very much speak into our life today, even in a different context. Now what we have before us this morning is a tale of two mountains. Words that very much speak into our life today, even though they were written many years before those words of Charles Dickens. What they'll do is this. They will show us where we are headed. So as we go about life, day-to-day life, with all that that entails, this image this morning is going to lift our eyes to where it is that we are headed. And so it will make sense of our day-to-day life give meaning and purpose to day-to-day life, and it will give us eyes for what is to come. I reckon we miss it sometimes, where it is that we are headed. Maybe for a few reasons. Firstly, maybe just that life is so busy and hectic that we're just focused on what is right in front of us, and we can lose sight of the bigger picture. Or life here is so good in Sydney. We live in one of the best places in the world. So we're pretty happy here, so we don't give a whole lot of thought to what else is to come. Or we're not sure about that life to come. There's so much that is unknown about it, and we do live in Sydney, that therefore maybe we're not as excited about it as we could be. So I'm hoping this passage, Hebrews 12, will help us to see where it is that we're headed and so make a difference to life now. So two mountains, two encounters with the Almighty God. The first is Mount Sinai. And just imagine how awesome, how truly awesome it would have been to be there. Not awesome in the way that we can just throw that word around and use it today. To be there at that mountain would be so great, yet so terrifying at the same time. Touch the mountain and be put to death. Now, because God is there and God is holy and we are not. What this scene captures is the holiness of God. Being so close to his presence, yet not being able to get too close. Can't touch. I like the shop with all the signs in it, maybe particularly for the children or for the parents of children. Do not touch, all over the shop with glass and other items. Or my mate Dave, I think I've told you before, in his house, in his parents' house. He doesn't live there anymore, many years ago. And we would go there and play rugby in the lounge room and that sort of thing. But there were these dolphins that his mum had, and that was definitely do not touch. We could look, we could be in the room, we could not play rugby in that room. But those dolphins, do not touch. They were very, very special. Those little glass, I don't know what they were made out of. The holiness of God, being in his presence. Hear the words. I'm going to read you a few words from Exodus 19. So this is 3 months after them coming out of Egypt. And maybe close your eyes to imagine what is happening here, how great it would be, but also how terrifying. Exodus 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And then reading in chapter 20. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." How awesome it would be to have been there. How great, how terrifying. But that is not our experience. We were not there, nor is it where we are headed. The writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 12:18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storms, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's not the mountain that we come to. So what is the other mountain? It's not a mountain like Mount Sinai. This other mountain is one that is beyond the material world that we know. So hear now about this mountain and how it is different. See the contrast. Have a look from verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's totally different, isn't it? And it seems bigger in scale, more cosmic. And yet the fear is gone, isn't it? And now there's a real closeness with God and his people. This is the congregation of all of God's people, all meeting together with God. There are thousands and thousands of angels there in joyful assembly. It's more like a celebration, isn't it? The fear has given way to festivity. This is where we're headed. Believers in Jesus, a glorious, joyous celebration in the heavenly city, in the company of Jesus, where all believers from all time are all brought together as one and are there with God. This is where we're headed. This is our eternal home. Now imagine the best wedding reception ever. Maybe it was yours. Maybe not. Maybe someone else's. That this is God's reception. The celebration, everyone there. And it doesn't last just for a few hours. You know, the gathering, it's a joyous time. All believers there together with God, with Jesus, our heavenly home. This is the eternal kingdom that we are part of, that we will receive. It cannot be shaken. This is eternal life. These are the two mountains, the two encounters. And the writer, having given us these two images of these mountains, where we're headed, the writer then gives us the warning. He's given us the image, he's lifted our eyes, but then he gets serious and speaks directly to us. Verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. We've seen the kingdom that is on offer. So do not refuse him. Do not refuse God who speaks. It's not unlike the other warnings that we've been looking at each week throughout this series in Hebrews, is it? In the first week, we looked at chapter 2, verse 1. The warning there, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Or in Hebrews 3, Verse 12, the warning there. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. In chapter 10, we saw this warning. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And here we're told, do not refuse him who speaks. This is God, the creator of the world. He speaks to us, so we would do well to listen to him. At work, maybe you're a teacher. Your students would do well to listen to you. Maybe at work you're the boss, or you're managing other people. Those people, they would do well to listen to you. At work, you would do well to listen to your boss, even when you don't agree with him or her. You need to listen to them. This is God. We must listen to him. See to it that you do not refuse him. He's spoken to us. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, by his Son. So do not refuse him. Now keep seeing what the writer says. If they, talking about the Israelites, in verse 25, did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. See, what God calls us to, the kingdom, that cannot be shaken. But everything else, everything here, sounds like that will not last. Created things, whatever has been created, can be removed. But you see, we are now part of something. If you're trusting Jesus, we are part of something far, far greater. We are headed for God's eternal kingdom. How good will that be? Knowing that that's where we're headed, surely that's got to keep affecting now our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, what it is that we want for our children. When we know what lasts and what doesn't last. Do not refuse him who speaks, for he is God. So what are we to do? That's got to be the first thing, to listen to him. Listen to him who speaks, take hold of that which is yours in Christ. I have eyes for the kingdom. But the writer goes on and tells us what it is that we are to do as we go about this life day to day. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us be thankful. To me, it sounds a little understated. Be thankful. We've just seen this awe-inspiring vision of what is to come. Your response? Be thankful. It seems a little bit understated. We are so favored by God that we can be part of this kingdom, this eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. that we can be a part of that only by the blood of Jesus. Not what we do. Nothing that we do can earn us a spot there. The blood of Jesus. None of us deserve it ourselves. And maybe that's my problem, that I think in some way that I do deserve it. That I have a right to heaven. I think that's what a lot of people think. That we all have a right to heaven. But when we see just how holy God is, how undeserving we are, and that God sends His Son to lose His life in this world, that we might gain life in the kingdom to come, then that is truly extraordinary. And so we're to be thankful. We're to be so grateful, ever thankful. As Paul says in Colossians, overflowing with thankfulness for what God has done for you, for what we are part of. We are to be full of thanks every day. And when I'm not, I've lost sight of where I'm headed and just how good it is that God has made this possible. So that's the first one. Be thankful. Let us be thankful. And secondly, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Our day-to-day life now is to be lived in worship of Him. All right? This is where we're headed. So we live now listening to Him. Now we know where we're headed. So until that day, we live listening to Him and in worship of Him. And that's where we belong. That is our kingdom. That is our home. We've now, if you're trusting in Jesus, you've got citizenship in the kingdom. So now we are living as citizens. Even though we are still here in this world, that is where God is taking us. So we live now with that in mind. The Almighty God has called us into His family, His home. That's significant. Do not refuse Him who speaks. Worship Him now with all reverence and awe. Well, to conclude, do you know where you're headed? What is it that you have eyes for? Because it's either the kingdom or it's something else. For some people, it's making money. It's having security in this world. Now, for others, it will be the success of their children. For some, maybe it just feels like Groundhog Day with no real purpose or meaning, and life each day just comes around and you live life and maybe there's no real purpose. But God invites you into His kingdom. He's made it possible by the blood of His Son. He's given you a goal, a purpose, something to live for now. Have you accepted it? Have you eyes for it? Eyes for the kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father, give us eyes for the kingdom, we ask. We do thank you. We thank you so much for Jesus. And help us to worship you with all we've got every day. Having eyes for the kingdom. Amen.